we discovered over this Christmas break that Anna, my 15-year-old daughter, is like freakishly good at Where's Waldo.
You just said 15 years old?
Yeah. She's 15.
I've known her for a long time, and I've known that she's 15 since the day she turned 15. And that just, it's like you said it for the first time. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really good at Where's Waldo.
She's awesome. Like freakish, not really good. She's freakishly good at Where's Waldo. We didn't even know this. We were at somebody's house on Christmas Day. She picks up a Where's Waldo book, and like every time they turn the page, she's like, bam, she just points. And after a while, Christy was like, oh, you got to keep it in your head. Let somebody else have a go. Like, I mean, not like she's the first one to find Waldo. Like, you turn the page, there's Waldo. At one point, Christy was like, have you read this one before? And she was like, no.
I can't imagine her lying about that. Or also, why would she?
Did I just use the phrase read when it comes to Where's Waldo? I don't think that's what the point of those books are.
Well, do you remember those I Spy books that were like kind of overwhelming?
Yeah, with all the little like trinkets. It was like
a
somebody
photograph of something.
It was like an antique store threw up.
Okay, and this is my exact point.
Yeah,
I'm getting there.
And then somebody took a photograph.
Yeah, so like, you know, December 23rd, I still don't have a present for like three people,
sure.
Which is not normally me. Like, I'm usually like, it's October 21st, and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm getting my sister this year because this will make her cry. I don't know. I like to.
That's your bar.
Yeah, kind of. I like to be really good at giving gifts.
To make them cry.
Honestly, secretly, neither of them listen to this podcast. Neither of my sisters.
Wow.
So, that I know of. If Abby does, there's no way Meredith does. But if Abby does,
everybody that knows Meredith is going, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, it's true. But like, my goal every year is to, and like, this is. Anyone can text me and say this is wrong, and I know it's wrong. Like, I know this about myself.
Whatever.
This doesn't need to, this should never leave my mouth or never happen. But my goal is to beat them at every gift giving thing when it comes to my parents.
It's a weird competitiveness.
Yeah. Like, for Mother's Day this year, I composed my mom a piano piece.
Well, nobody's going to beat that.
Exactly. And that's right. They're not going to beat it.
Were your sisters like, oh man, I can't believe you did that?
Yeah.
Are they aware of the competition?
Kind of. They stopped asking me to go in on gifts with them. It used to be like, hey, we're going to do this for dad. They stopped asking me.
Okay.
So last night I was running into our favorite Mexican restaurant in town, Gallo Loco, to grab some queso for
Best
New Year's
waiters
party.
In East Tennessee.
Yeah. And I passed my cousins as I was, like, they were coming in. They were coming out. I was going in. And the first thing out of their mouths were, heard you gave great Christmas presents this year.
Incredible.
And I tried to downplay it, and then I just stopped and I said, yeah, I'm good at that. I tried to be like, no. And then I said, yeah,
okay,
I'm good
so
at that.
Okay, so did you, so where does the I Spy book come into this?
Well, okay, so this year I was not as good at it, but apparently I was because they said I was. And it's December 23rd. My dad and I are just driving around Knoxville trying to gather things for Christmas. I ended up getting both my sisters pedicures for Christmas, which that's pretty good.
Sure.
And then I built my mom this thing.
Have you ever gotten a pedicure for Christmas?
Not for Christmas. I usually get a massage every year for Christmas.
But you'll go get a pedicure.
I've had one pedicure and it was the greatest thing I've ever had in my
life.
Wow. Yeah. So I like walked into this antique store. It's called the Beard and Antique Mall.
Yeah.
And my mom has this thing, which there's also no way my aunt Glinda listens to this. My aunt Glinda.
You have an aunt called Glinda?
Yeah.
Like from the Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. She's from Africa though. But my aunt Glinda one year got her this wooden chicken, and it's just like, it's not cool. Like, it's just like the weirdest looking thing ever.
Wait,
and
does your mom like it?
No. But it's like in our house because she won't.
She won't. Okay.
No.
The politeness.
There's a lot of things that could get me in trouble on this podcast, and this is definitely one. But I walked into that antique store, and it's like a gymnasium, like a high school gymnasium, like, but an I Spy book form. It just looks like,
dang,
antiquers threw up everywhere, and it's just all over the place. And I walked in there, and I found these
two. Just the island of misfit toys.
Yeah. I found these two, like, pocket-sized straw chickens that I bought for my mom. And I was walking to the register with them, and the owner looked at me and said, did you find what you were looking for? Did you have any luck today? And I was like, I got exactly what I came in here for. And I showed him, and he rolled his eyes and shook his head and said, when you walked in these doors, I knew you were going out here with these chickens. And we both just laughed at each other. And then I gave him my money.
That's fantastic. Can I ask how much pocket size straw chickens cost?
$5.99.
I love thinking that the chickens were designed for the pocket.
Yeah. No, I mean they were a little bigger. They're more like they're probably the size of like a softball. But
oh wow. But they hearkened to the wooden chicken from Aunt Glinda?
Yeah, yeah. They looked like it, but they were made of straw.
So was it, did she get the joke?
I acted dead serious when I gave them to her, and then I started laughing, and she started laughing. It was great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know how we got there.
That's great. Hey, Happy New Year, everybody. This is Ancient and New, and of course, I am your host, Lee.
I'm Thomas. And if you need a good gift, and no one's gotten you one, just let me know. I'll do whatever.
Yeah, and I will say too, for some of our younger male listeners, if you're in the place of like taking a girl on a date for maybe the first time and you don't really know what you're doing, there's no shame in that. Just give Thomas a call. He can help you out. He's got good ideas on that front.
Yeah, I have some college guys I used to hang out with in there, and I still hang out with them. They were my Young Life guys, and they'll be like, "All right, 3 month anniversary. Type me a PDF of what we're doing tonight." You know, and I'm like, "Here you go."
Right. We're going to keep going with our format. We're going to point out some cool things that we've found in scripture lately and just talk about them. And I'm going to start. Is that cool?
Yeah.
John chapter 13. I'm reading through the Gospel of John. I'm almost done. And, but I was reading John chapter 13 and it's of course, this is kind of Jesus's last night, his last meal with his disciples. He's in the upper room with these guys and they've sat down for the meal. It says this, John says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Everybody knows kind of like, if you know the Gospel of John at all, you know that's what's going down in John chapter 13. But I want to back up and just point out one thing that little scene is illustrating, which is the very beginning of John chapter 13. He says this, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." Sometimes that's translated, "He loved them to the end," or "He loved them to the uttermost." This was it. This was the purest, like both barrels. This is all of Jesus's love, like distilled down. This is it. This is like the full expression of how he loved these guys, is that he washed their feet. And I've been kind of aware of this story my whole life. And, you know, it's kind of one of the things that we talk about a lot on here, of like, how do you approach something that you already know again? And the thing that occurred to me this time, is that like, if you read about the upper room, like this last meal in the Gospel of Luke, one of the things that Luke tells us is that the guys were arguing at dinner, that they like came into the room heated and that they were arguing about who was the greatest. This is like their continual argument, is like, who does Jesus love the most? Who wins at being a disciple? Who wins at being one of Jesus's guys? So they're arguing about this. They argued with each, they were so upset with each other that they had not done the courtesy of washing each other's feet as they entered this house. You would kind of typically wash the person's feet behind you, then they would turn and wash the feet of the person behind them, and then everybody's seated at dinner with clean feet, because they didn't have, you know, socks and closed-toed shoes. Mm. So everybody's got dirty feet. And they got dirty feet, they got dirty mouths, they got terrible attitudes. Just it's a raunchy room that Jesus walks into. And the reason that I thought about this over break is just because, like, over break, as a parent, you kind of have to reestablish certain like behavioral norms. It's like everybody's off school and it's just kind of Lord of the Flies at the house. And it's like, oh man, we got to reestablish, like, this is how you cannot talk to your siblings. And this is, you know, hands to yourself, this kind of stuff. You're going to kill each other kind of deal. And, there's a lot of things that can be frustrating in that environment as a parent. And I've seen this welling up in myself. And to know that, like, Jesus came into this room with a bunch of bad attitudes, a bunch of people going off on each other, the way that kids will do if you leave them alone, and kind of deal. And all the things that occur to me as a parent, he didn't do. Like, he did not chide them. He did not shame them. He did not yell at them. He did not give them ultimatums. He did not go off at all. All he did was to lower himself and to show them the full extent of his love, which is, I make myself low and I do something for you that you were not willing to do for somebody else. I do something for you that you need done. I have this this kind of love that serves, that is very, like, it's a very intimate moment. It's a very hands-on moment, like literally hands-on. And this is the way that he loves. Not to yell, not to shame, not to chide, not to, boy, I'm so disappointed, which is all the stuff that occurs to me when, you know, like when I'm frustrated with somebody. And then for him to treat him like this, it was just such a cool thing to see. Not only like, not only informing, like kind of thinking about the way I parent or the way that I hang with my friends or something like that, but then to turn it back onto myself and to realize, like, when I'm that person, when I'm the person that with a terrible attitude, when I'm a person that is judging everybody around me, that's going off on what whoever or whatever, that this is the way that he cares about me. It's the way he loves me. He doesn't shame me. He doesn't chide me. He doesn't give me ultimatums and yell. He just serves me.
I think it's a really cool, it's one thing that just, it makes our religion so different from others. Mm-hmm. Our king came to serve and not be served, you know, like,
yeah,
our Messiah did things like this, you know. Yeah. I think it's such a neat thing, and it's like you're saying, it's not, we have a gospel that is not full of rules and laws and guilt and shame. And I think if you get down to like the core of the thing and you ask, like, what are we going to do about the sin in our life? A lot of other things don't answer that. You know, all the other religions don't give us a good answer for that. And ours is,
everything else is just kind of a try harder and
right.
Pull yourself
try
up
harder,
and,
be yeah. better.
Yeah. Be better.
Don't do the things.
Feel bad, then be better.
Right. And ours is, I have died for you and you're set free of all you've ever done, do, or will do. And then we have a king who is washing people's feet. I think it's so neat. I think it's a sweet reminder of this is different than anything else. Like, yeah. our Lord, when he rose from the grave, appeared to a woman, which would not have happened. You know, like, yeah. There's so many cool little Easter eggs like that in the Gospels that, whether intentional or not, that are just like, okay, wow, this is too crazy to have been made up. Like, no one would have thought to do this. No one who has ever made anything up about a religion or whatever would ever have thrown in the king of the whole thing washing someone's feet. And I know this is a different direction than you went with it, but that's just what jumped out at me when you're reading it. It's
absolutely.
So neat.
It's such a cool thing. Not only that, but like, even to take that a step further, that at the end of the meal, he says this thing to Peter where he said, like, well, during the meal, he says, one of you will betray me, right? And he already knows. He already knows who it's going to be. And then at the end of the meal, he says to Peter, before this night ends, you are going to deny that you know me three times. It's like he knows that two of the 12 guys are going to in some way turn their back on him and betray him. Mm-hmm. And he had their feet in his hands. Mm-hmm. Washing the dirt off of their feet, just like tenderly drying them with the towel that was wrapped around his waist, which, by the way, was the only clothing he had on. He had stripped down. He was completely exposed. He was completely making himself like a slave. And then to have the feet in the hand, in his hands of the people that he knew, of Judas. He had Judas's feet in his hands. And he had Peter's feet in his hands. It's just such an amazing thing. Again, as you're saying, such a beautiful confirmation of the truth of it. Nobody would have ever thought of this. No one has ever invented a character like this because he's uninventable. And to think this is the full extent of his love.
Yeah, I can almost feel the temperature of that room, what it went,
wow,
what yeah. started as and what it went to, you know, that, I mean, knowing what I know about Jesus and all we've just said, there's no part of that was like a, I'm going to do some type of backhanded thing that's going to make them secretly feel bad.
Right.
But you know, like, I know what happened in that room when he got down on his knees and like took his outer garment off and started washing their feet. I know it got quiet and people probably thought, what in the world is he doing? And then as he got to their feet, what must have been going through their mind and what they must have been thinking and how sweet it must have been. Cause we were in a room a couple months ago where some people we love decided like, hey, we're going to wash everyone's feet. It was just like it was a moment where it was like, wait, what are you doing? And then as soon as the guy who was washing mine did mine, my eyes were filled with tears and we hugged each other and cried together. And it was just like, this is the sweetest thing.
It's an unexplainable moment from the outside until you experience. It's the perfect mixture of awkward and, and tender and like servant and like, I don't know how to classify this.
I wanted to share something. I just finished the book of Matthew not too long ago. And this was cool for me coming out of Christmas, coming out of this season of like waiting for the coming of Jesus and like the Advent thing. And I don't know, for some reason I've just struggled with it for years of like, what does this mean? What is all, like, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? Which, like, if you listen to the episode I did a couple weeks ago, I guess I talked about that a little bit, but this was really cool for me to read. Not too long ago. And this is right at the very end. It's called the Great Commission, if you've ever heard of that. But it says, all authority, this is Jesus speaking, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I think it's really cool because it's just crystal clear. You know, it's pretty black and white. Like this is what it is. Like it's Jesus's words and they're very clear. And there's a thing that I think I can struggle with. I know I struggle with, and it's loneliness or whatever, feeling alone. And like, even spiritually, like feeling alone and like, I don't have the physical incarnation of God walking with me, you know, like if I'm going on a walk by the marina, you know, I have the Holy Spirit and He says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I just kind of have to believe that, you know, I have to believe it.
Right.
He says it. I have to believe that it's true. And it's cool for me to read that coming out of Christmas, because I think the whole buildup of the Advent season was like, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, get ready, get ready. And then I just needed to take a break and realize He's with me. He already is with me. Yeah. Like, He's not being reborn again. Like it happened once.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's happened. He came and he walked around on this earth. He was born in a dirty little area, walked around, was crucified, came back to life, and he's with me always until I die. And then I'm going to be with him and it, you know, physically, and it's going to be awesome. But I just kind of have to believe it in the moments where I don't, I need to remember that he says he's going to be, and he's a God of his word.
Yeah. As you're talking about this, you're reminding me of kind of the way Potsy prays during times like this, where he'll pray about, you know, like, he's like, Lord, you're coming to be born in a little, you know, in a little stable, they're going to lay you in a manger. Like he talks as if he's like, Potsy's prayers time travel.
Yeah.
You know, so he like time travels back to the time when Jesus wasn't here yet and he was being born. And for some folks, that is a really comforting way to walk through Advent every year. Mm-hmm. Or they do the same thing with Lent, you know, kind of walking through. And it's kind of their way of remembering. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say like, this is wrong or something like that. You know, it's probably not the way that I think about it. That doesn't make it like the right, you know, my way, the right way or anything like that. But for our friend Potsy, that definitely works, you know, right. that he kind of thinks about it that way. Like Advent is an anticipation of something he's waiting for something to happen. But as you're saying, and you know, however people walk through that and worship Jesus and think through it, I get it, you know? And at the same time, it's also good. I think you're exactly right that there's another part of my brain where I'm like, no, it happened. He came. Mm-hmm. And because he came and because he suffered and because he rose and because he ascended, now the Holy Spirit, that which Paul at several places in some of his letters calls the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ is in me and with me, and I am not alone, and I am not waiting on Jesus in any way. I don't have to wait on Jesus. Jesus is here. He is with me right now. He's giving me energy and power. He's pouring out the love of God in my heart at all times. And so that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, that the Holy Spirit is always doing. And so that's a good thing to remember. Like, however I kind of worship Jesus during times like Advent or Lent or whatever, it's also good to know, like, and yet I'm not waiting on anything. I don't have to wait on certain things in my faith to happen. I don't have to wait on Jesus to make something happen. He's here. And I want to, and I don't know how this works for other people, but like, there's an old pastor called F.B. Mayer, and I like several of his books a whole lot, but he has one book called The Present Tenses of the Blessed Life. And he talks about this, where Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he talks about at the end of this little chapter, these chapters are really, really short, but at the end of this chapter, he gives like practical tips to practice becoming more and more aware of the presence of Jesus with you wherever you are at all times. And they've been like super helpful. And I realized, like, it's not only what you're saying, like, I just need to believe this. Yes, but I also need to practice it. Mm. I also need to like show up for practice and get some reps at like learning practically what it means to me that Jesus is with me always.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool. It's been helpful.
That sounds like I would like that book.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's pretty good.
This is fun. This is where normal people would like promote their book. Be like, hey, go buy my book.
No, we want to promote F.B. Mayer's book. It's really, really good.
A guy neither of us have ever met, but we both love.
Yeah, we're going to meet him one day.
Yeah.
He's precious. So today's episode has been brought to you by Where's Waldo?
And the Beard and Antique Mall. That's my place, man.
Which is like, I've heard it's like actually where they make the I Spy books. Like they like photograph it there.
There's one section where I looked at my dad and I said, this is it. You know, I literally said that to him. I'm laughing. It wasn't that funny. It was just like, yeah, this is I Spy.
I wish there was like a tournament, like a Where's Waldo tournament, and somebody was still drawing them. I would love to see how far Anna would get.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like she dominates people.
As I was walking out, I grabbed a cane.
Yeah.
And I said, when I get to your age, Dad, I don't care how healthy I am, I'm carrying one of these. And the lady at the register looked at me and said, that's a woman's cane. And I was like,
folks, until next time, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New. Just want to run away. When I am underneath the weight of everything, and there is nothing left to say, you're here with me. You can help and heal. Thank you.
Ooh.